You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier. Today I am joined by Erin, and we're going to be talking about the music practical exam. It's that time of year for practical exams and orals and stuff, so I'm sure sixth years are very stressed at the moment. And over the next couple of weeks, people will actually be sitting their music practicals. But this podcast is basically for anyone who is either sitting them and wants some tips on how to kind of relax or like feel less pressure for them, or of course for fifth years who are seeing their sixth year friends preparing for them and feeling a bit stressed. And for anybody who's thinking of doing music but want to know a little bit about like what it entails, because obviously the music practical is worth 50% of the overall grade, so it's like a pretty large chunk. So yeah, we're just going to have a chat about how it is. I actually didn't do the music practical myself. I didn't do music, but Erin did, and she got a H1, so she knows what she's talking about. Yeah, I guess like, so I'm kind of coming from the POV of someone who doesn't know very much about it. So like, if I was somebody that was just deciding to take music, what exactly, Erin, does it entail? What's the music practical like, or how do they examine it?
So the music practical is something that's very kind of, it's very open, like it's very much kind of up to the student and what your kind of personal strengths are within music. So there's basically, as you said already, it's worth 50% overall, and it's split into kind of different sections. So there's basically three different options that you can, I suppose, choose between when it comes to what way you want your practical to go. So if you play one instrument, you can do four pieces on one instrument, and then you can do what's called music technology is one option that you have. So basically, instrument also includes your voice, so that includes singing, obviously. So you can either do four pieces on one instrument and music technology. Then your second option is to do four pieces on one instrument and four pieces on another instrument. And then your third option is to do six pieces on one instrument all together and be examined fully on that. The only other step that's involved in the practical then that it applies across the board is you do something called an unprepared test, which in a lot of cases is people go with clapping, so sight reading, and you're given like a bar of rhythm and you have to clap it out. So there's kind of a lot of liberty, I suppose, when it comes to what way you want to approach the practical exam yourself. It's not very set in stone like an oral, say, would be, where like this is what happens first and this is what happens then. It's also like in a lot of cases, I know in my case, the examiner asked me like, what do you want to do first? Like, it's very kind of up to you kind of have the control over it, so it's not something okay. That's like very kind of by the book, I would say.
Okay, so you can kind of tailor it to your strengths. So like, say if you wanted to show, like you were saying, there's an option there where you can do four pieces on one instrument and four on another. If you kind of could sing and play piano, you could show off kind of both strengths. Or like that, if you kind of were more confident in things that maybe you're not very confident in singing or playing an instrument, you can actually have half of your marks come from, or however many marks come from, the music technology part. Yes. You said that you did the version of it that was four on an instrument and music technology, right?
I did, yes.
So how did you, when you had those three kind of different options for the exam, how did you come to decide to do that? And also, like, what's the timeline for deciding that? Is it like, it's not, I presume it's not like on the day, but like, you know, what's the timeline for do you have to like submit that or something?
Obviously, it's a good idea to have your mind made up kind of well in advance, so that you can obviously practice and focus on improving whatever aspect it is that you're going to work towards yourself. But I'm fairly certain this is how it was for us anyways. Literally the only thing that kind of like finalized the decision was you have to give the examiner like a sheet describing like what sort of test you're doing. Like, you just have to kind of tick all the boxes that apply to like the route that you're going to go down yourself. So it's really not like until, I suppose, you show the examiner like, this is what I'm doing, like they figure out what way your exam is going to go from what you give them. So it's not a case of like you have to submit it to them like months in advance or whatever, but I think obviously it is a good idea just for yourself to have an idea well in advance so that you can work towards what way you're going to go about it, obviously. But it's not like a set in stone thing, like you can change your mind, because I know for me, I was kind of unsure for a while. I was kind of going between two options, and then it was only like, I don't know, I'd say probably like a month before the practical that I actually decided, okay, this is what way I want to go about it, but it's not very like limiting in that sense. Again, like you don't have to like make up your mind on the spot or like really kind of soon, I suppose.
Yeah. And what did you take, what kind of factors did you take into account when deciding between, were you stuck between doing the four and a music technology and the six, or four and four? Mm-hmm. What were you thinking of doing, or and what swayed you to go the way you did?
Yeah, so I only ever really, like, I sang for my music practical. I play like little bits of like guitar and things, but I wouldn't be super confident mm-hmm. in it. So I knew
humble. You're so humble.
No. Like, I would not have even considered playing another instrument for my practical. But yeah, so that was something that I knew I definitely would not be doing. So that was ruled out. But then I was very much between the six pieces and the four and music technology. Wasn't too sure, like, I kind of, part of me was like, okay, like, it might be handy to just sing the whole way through, like, it's only two extra pieces. I didn't really know, like, my music teacher was trying to get me to do the six, but I think honestly more than anything, like, I really just got on with the music technology. Like, a lot of people I know didn't really love it, but I thought that it was a good option to have there, and I found it easy enough, I enjoy doing it, kind of, and that was like the main thing. I suppose the other thing was that the six pieces, I think, are marked a little bit tougher than the four are, because I think just in terms of the marking scheme, because there is a marking scheme for the exam, it's not just like, oh, the examiner judging you based on how they personally think your voice sounds or whatever. Like, there is a marking scheme that they do adhere to, and I think the wording of that is just like a little bit different. Like, I think for the four pieces it's like very good is the top criteria, and then in the six it's like excellent. So I think there was just kind of I think, like, while it's still a very good option, and I don't think it should be something that puts students off necessarily, I think it was just something that I did take into account, because, you know, you obviously want to make the exam kind of as, I suppose, easy for yourself as possible.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that I did find the music technology as kind of, like, it worked for me. So because of that, I was like, okay, I'm just going to go with this option, even though I suppose, like, singing would be something that I'd technically be more confident in. I just thought that that was the best option for me personally.
Yeah, and to have the mix of the two, I mean, makes sense as well, especially maybe if one didn't go to plan, you kind of have something mm-hmm. else to, you know, look at and think, okay, well, I did well on that.
It was nice to have things to kind of break it up, because I think that, like, with, like, I don't know, I think with any exam, like, I didn't feel too, like, nervous going in, like, in the exam itself, but I think that you're always kind of just like dying for, like, whatever you're doing in that moment to just be over, like, subconsciously. So I think that having it broken up into little sections, like, I'd do my four pieces and then I'd do the music tech and then I'd, like, you know, moving on, it kind of just felt like you're progressing kind of more through it. And like that, if you did end up like getting nervous on the day, at least, you know, if you have your singing done or your instrument done, whatever it is you're doing, like, you can just move on from that and say, okay, now I'm going to focus on this. Or, like, the other way around, if you're more confident with your instrument but you're not super confident with music technology, like, at least you have the music tech done, you can just focus on the other part of the exam, and it's not something that, like, just kind of fighting to get through the rest of it, even if you're not, like, happy with how it's going, you can, like, for me anyway, that's how I kind of looked at it.
Yeah. And what exactly is music technology? Like, I'm kind of just picturing you there with a DJ set in the exam, but I presume, like, that's not it.
No. It's a lot more straightforward than that. Basically what it is you're given, I think it can be any kind of piece of music of your choice, or, like, I know in my case, my teacher gave it to us. You get a score and you bring the score in with you to the exam room wherever you're being examined, and there you'll have a computer there. I know for us we used a program called MuseScore. I think there's different ones that different schools might use, and basically you just have to, it's just a software that, like, allows you to input pieces of music, like a score, onto like an app kind of, and you can just, like, listen back to it and things. You have to input the score how it is, and then you have prepared going into the exam three changes that you're going to make to it. So I know in my case it was, like, dynamics, articulation, and I think tempo, and you just, like, the examiner, it's not even a case of the examiner saying, okay, change this specific aspect, like, you have the changes prepared yourself going in, you know exactly what you're going to change it to. It's just when the examiner says to you, okay, do this, that you're able to, like, take the steps to do it yourself. So basically what it is we had, like, four different lines, so there'd be, like, I don't know, like a flute line, clarinet, I don't know what they were exactly, but like you just kind of had to input them line by line, and then the examiner would just tell you like, okay, move on to the next one, because you only have a specific amount of time to get it done. And by the way, just want to highlight in that, like, it's not a race to get it done. Like, you're not being graded on like how much of it you get done. It's yeah. just important that you take your time and make sure you get it right, because if you know, it's something that honestly is very kind of, if you do practice it a lot, it's an easy way to pick up marks, but you're not being graded on how much of it you get done. The examiner doesn't care about how long they're listening to it for, like, they really don't care. So when they tell you to move on, you just move on to the next line, whatever, even if it's only a couple of bars, you get done, grand. They just want to see that you input it correctly. And then yeah, at the end of that, they'll be like, okay, they're like, they might ask you to play it back every time, or they might ask you to play it back at the end. Then they'll say, can you make your changes, please? You make your changes, grand. And then at the end of it, they'll usually say, like in my one, they were like, okay, can you save this to your computer? Or they might say, can you show me how you would print this? Or they might say, like, just kind of basic things like that, like, that you shouldn't get stressed over. It's just yeah. kind of, they just have to ask yeah. those questions. And then you just usually like open it back up, and that's the whole exam. Like, it's honestly very it's a lot less kind of stressful when you think technology. I know, like, when I heard about it first, my brain kind of jumped to like, oh my god, like, what kind of things are they going to expect us to do? But it's really not that. Like, you'll go through it again and again and again. And honestly, like, I mean, we'd mainly work on it in school, but I downloaded MuseScore onto my own laptop, and I'd just be like working away doing it in my own time. And like, it really does just come to you, especially if it's just the one score that you're inputting things into again and again and again. Like, it becomes like muscle memory almost. So yeah, that's basically yeah. just a kind of summary of how
it sounds,
part of the exam works.
It sounds kind of fun. Maybe that's crazy to say, and someone who's about to sit their exam and is stressing about it is probably like, what is he talking about? But it just sounds fun, and it also sounds extremely useful, and kind of like in mm-hmm. like in today's world, kind of, you know, something that if you're pursuing music, it's definitely something that you're going to have to do in the future. So yeah, like, it sounds really good.
This is so random, but like, I was in a show there a few months ago, and I would literally be learning my harmonies by inputting them into MuseScore, and then I'd play it back. And like, if not for doing Leave Insert Music, I wouldn't have had the skills to do
that.
I found it really useful.
Gosh, yeah. Yeah, hey, maybe I need to get MuseScore. That sounds sounds like it could be helpful. If you're serious about your exams, StudyClicks Premium is the best way to study. You'll get access to every exam question by topic, marking schemes and solutions, plus exclusive mock exam questions and papers. No more scrambling for the right questions, just structured exam-ready prep. And for podcast listeners, here's €10 off with this code PODCAST10 at checkout. Go to studyclicks.ie and get your upgrade today. But yeah, so I suppose like one thing that's right across the board, no matter what avenue of the exam you choose, is the playing the instrument, or, you know, singing, that kind of element of performance. I mean, mm-hmm. no matter what, you're going to have to do at least 4, if not 8, if not 6 pieces of music. So kind of walk me through that. I know you said you chose to sing. I presume it's quite similar the whole way across the board, no matter what you're doing, whether it's playing an instrument or singing. How do you come to think, I always think this, like, you know, when I was seeing people do it in the past, I was like, how would you pick the songs? Like, do you get guidance from your teacher? Is there a brief? Is there, you know, is there kind of songs that people get told to avoid? How did you come to pick the songs that you sang in the end?
I think the most important thing to take into account when you're picking songs or pieces of music, is to pick things that you are comfortable with yourself. Like, I think there's really no point picking something because, I don't know, that you think you should be able to sing, or that you think would look good to the examiner or whatever. Like, it's really just, if you're not comfortable with what you're doing, like, that's going to show at the end of the day. And it's not, you know, like, I always say this to people when they're thinking about, like, performing and things like that, especially when it comes to the practical, like, it's not like the X factor. Like, you're not being judged to that degree. The examiner just wants to see what you can do, and what you, like, they want to see you shine and what you're comfortable doing. So yeah. I think that's the main thing. Obviously, you want to be able to show off your range. You want to be able to show the examiner what you can do differently. Like, you don't want to have very kind of similar, I can't think of the word, but I suppose just not you want to have some variety in there. Yes. So definitely, like, one thing that we were told by our teachers, and I think this is definitely across the board, is to have variety when it comes to genre. Even if it's a case of, like, you play mainly trad, like you play trad on whatever instrument, like the fiddle or whatever, if you can have like different kind of dances, or like if you play one kind of more classical piece, like it's just a case of you don't want to have it all the same. Like you want to make it interesting for the examiner, but also like show off what you can do yourself, because you know, most of the time, and like I know some people pick music just because they have an interest in it and they don't really have much experience playing or whatever, but most people who pick music do, you know, have experience with some sort of instrument or with singing or whatever the case may be. So like you want to show off, okay, this is my instrument, this is what I can do with it. So I think for, yeah, definitely just having variety when it comes to genre. I know for me, I did one musical theatre song, I think. I did one like folksy country-ish song. I did one like Shano song, and then I did one more kind of jazzy song. So you kind of just want to, like, as much as you are comfortable yourself with pushing yourself in that way, you just kind of want to like keep it different, and that's I think the most important thing. Just like don't pick songs that are like really samey, and yeah, just have some variety in there, because that's going to stand out to the examiners and it's going to help yourself too.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, just you touched on a point there kind of picking things that you actually think you'll enjoy and feel comfortable performing, because at the end of the day, like you said, for a lot of people, the music, they choose it because they love to sing, or they love to play their instrument, or they've been doing it a long time, or it's just something that they are interested in, even if they think they're not, you know, the best at doing it in the world. You know what I mean? They just love performing. And that's kind of where it all comes down to. Like at the end of the day, it is a performance. You get an opportunity to sing or play an instrument for somebody, and you want to enjoy that experience as much as you hope they're enjoying it too. And you also have to bear in mind that they're hearing like hundreds of songs and pieces being played every day, so it is kind of good to have some variety. And I guess as well, like, it's kind of a place where you could, you know, like you said, maybe sing genres that you maybe would, so like yourself, you're from like a musical theater background, you've done musical theater, we've talked about this in the past, the Theater Kid podcast that this is low-key becoming, but anyway, you have some experience with that. But like you said, you also sang a folk song, and you sang, you know, Shano, so you kind of got a bit of experience singing other things and showing that aspect off too. But you kept that little bit of musical theater that you knew you'd be good at, and you knew, you know, that like you were very comfortable with. So yeah, and can you sing them in any order you want, or is there like are you accompanied by like on the piano, or is it like a track, or how does that work?
It's really completely up to you. First of all, yeah, you can do them in any order you want. I know for the only thing you kind of have to watch is timing. I think you have around roughly 25 minutes a slot. Obviously, I think it might depend slightly depending on what school you're in or whatever, but I think it's roughly around 25 minutes altogether. So obviously, if you're doing six pieces on one instrument, you have like 20 minutes to do like all six. For me, with the choice that I went with, I had around 10 minutes total to fit all my singing into. So because of that, it meant that I couldn't perform like the entire length of most of my songs. So that's one thing I think that's really important to take into account. Like, you can't really run over time with it, but like the order is completely up to you. The other thing that's important to take into account is that, at least in my school anyway, I am assuming it's the same across the board, because I suppose have to be with state exams, you can't use the internet on the day. So what that means is, if you are using a backing track, it has to be downloaded beforehand, and you can't just like go onto YouTube on the day and look up like karaoke, whatever. So that's just one thing to be mindful of. A lot of people do get like accompanists in with them. Like, it's really just a matter, again, of whatever you are comfortable with yourself. Like, there's no like really regulations, I suppose. Yeah, it's kind of just up to whatever you want to do. Also, one thing that I think is worth bringing up is you can do the practical like as a group. And you also can sing, yeah, you also can like sing or perform with other people. So for me, I did my own, obviously, practical. And then I also sang with, I accompanied another girl in my class, but I wasn't marked on that myself. I just was like her accompanist. But if you are more comfortable performing as part of a group, you can absolutely do that. Like, again, it's like really, really up to you. And if you're performing as part of a group, you're marked differently, but you're marked on your own individual contribution to the group. So yeah, it's really, really just up to you, You have so much freedom with the practical, and I think it's a great thing, honestly. Like, I love doing music for Leaving Cert because it was just kind of that, it was so different to anything else that I was doing, and because it was worth such a big part of the grade, like, you do spend a lot of your time just like performing in class and things like that, and honestly I just found it really fun.
Yeah, I hadn't realized it was so flexible, and like,
yeah,
like you said, it's different to when you compare it to something that's like similar in practice, such as like the Irish oral or the French oral. You know, you go in, you do your short pictures, you have to do the poem, then you have to answer the questions, or I don't know what order it was in, but you know, it's very like methodological like that, whereas it kind of sounds a little bit more like you can choose. I mean, you can't bring someone in to accompany you in your Irish oral, but you know, it might be nice to have that bit of support. And like that, like, it's, and you touched on this at the start as well, they're not, it's not the X factor. They're not looking, I presume you don't need to be, it's not a competition of who's the best singer in the school. You know, you could get more marks than someone who's a better, like, you could get more marks than someone who's better at singing or playing an instrument than you, but it's kind of about like technique and I suppose that a huge thing of it must be confidence as well. I know that, and even just from watching performances, like, of anything, you can tell, like, when someone feels confident in something, like, there's got to be, you know, weight to that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is performance at the end of the day. Like, you're, it's about how you kind of portray yourself too. Like, there's so much more to it than just like kind of how you like sound or whatever. I think, yeah, like, a really important thing that you can do for yourself is to look at the marking scheme for the practical exam. And like, I'm not saying that that'll make a huge difference in kind of how you approach it, because obviously you can only kind of do so much yourself, but like, they're not looking for like, you know, who can hit the craziest high note or whatever. Like, it's it's literally just a case of like, they mark, you know, like your projection, your diction, just things like that, that like they have to be looking out for. Like, even if, you know, your performance doesn't go like as amazingly as you thought that it might, if you adhere to the criteria that they have to mark you on, like, you're not gonna go, you know, it's not gonna go like half as badly as you think that it will. And also, like, there is, it's kind of, you know, I suppose difficult to say that there's no subjectivity to it at all, because obviously if an examiner like really just gets along with your performance, like, they might favor that, but like, for the most part, it really is just a case of like, they're marking you based on what they have to mark you on. So I don't think it's, I think even if it's something that you're not super confident in, or you don't have a lot of background in whatever sort of performance you're going for, like, it really is just a case of practice and kind of getting to where they expect you to be. But like, yeah, it really just is a lot to do with how you portray yourself and to how you kind of perform at the end of the day, because that's all it is.
Yeah, like, I suppose, like, if you somehow find out who your examiner is and hack their Spotify and choose their top five songs, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get more marks than everybody else. Like, it is, you know, they kind of can't be as subjective as that. I also wanted to just touch briefly on, because I want to talk about kind of tips for how to, you know, prepare, you know, not just like which songs, but as in like mentally prepare for it. But just quickly to touch on the unprepared test. So the part that, you know, that you were saying about rhythm and clapping.
Yes.
Do you have any general tips for that? It's 5% overall, I think, is it?
Yeah, it's 5% of your total grade in music, not of the practical, like overall. So I think it's something that...
Okay.
It's something a lot of people, I think, kind of don't take much notice of, but it is actually a really substantial part of your grade. So it really is worth practicing. Most people for this option, for this part of the exam, go for the rhythm clapping option, which is basically you're given a piece of like a few bars of rhythm and asked to clap it out. Like, you haven't seen it before or anything. The examiner just picks one and says, okay, here, do this. You have like 30 seconds to look at it. You can run through it in your head, and then you just have to clap it out. Another option that a lot of people do, well, I don't know if is it very common, but you can also do like unprepared, like piano piece, or like if you play the drums or whatever, they'll give you like, you can ask them to pick a piece, an unprepared piece on whatever instrument that is. But most people, in my experience anyway, tend to go with the clapping. Honestly, the best thing you could do for this, it's kind of cliche, but it really just is practice. Like, just, I know in class we used to, like, my teacher would just put them up on the board and we'd have to clap them out, like, as a class. And I know something a lot of people do and something that we did was assign words to the different note values. So we would be there like, tea, tea, coffee, tea, cappuccino, like, just kind of be, like, put little words, like, I don't know, things that make it easier for yourself, that, like, it's like by association you'll kind of get more comfortable with doing it. And like, it's just like, because you can, like, some of them can be quite tricky. I know you can have like different time signatures. I don't think it usually gets more complicated than like 3-4 time signature. I don't think they'd throw in anything like insane, but yeah, it is really just a matter of practicing it. And you do, like, because I know when I was in fifth year, I'd like look at them and be like, oh, this is really, really daunting. But it's just practice. It's like anything, you get more familiar with it. And then it's such a small thing as well. Like, it's over, you do it and then it's done. It takes like 20 seconds. I would say as well, just like, don't overthink it. Because I know from my own exam, this is like one of the things I was like most stressed about afterwards. I had to ask to do mine again because I started and then I like panicked. I got really flustered and I was like, oh no, like, I've messed the whole thing up. I said it to my music teacher after and she was like, you shouldn't have done that. And I was like, oh no. But it was like fine. It was fine in the end.
You still got the H1, so
I did. I don't think I lost like anything from, no, my examiner was lovely. Like, she was so nice.
Yeah.
So I don't think she minded. But I think it really just is a matter of like grounding yourself and saying, okay, I can do this. I've done this many times before. It's not the end of the world. Yeah. And just not panicking, because it's such a small thing, but it is so easy to kind of get in your head about it. But yeah, it is really just a matter of practicing it. And it's such a like quick part of the exam, but it's, you know, 5% can make a lot of difference at the end,
yeah,
of the day.
It literally can be the difference between a H1 or H2, mm-hmm, or whatever. And like, I think as well, what kind of sounds like maybe was difficult for you in your exam, it was probably because you had everything else prepared so well and like had, you know, really worked hard on them, picture songs, learned them off. But then this is like, it's like the complete opposite. It's something like unprepared, yeah, as such, and you can only rely on things you've practiced that aren't the exact same as it. So I feel like when it goes from something being so prepared to like something you couldn't really properly prepare for, it probably throws people off. But like you said, it'll be over in like a flash, like, and then yeah, you can just move on. Mm-hmm. So in terms of preparing, let's say like the week of or the week before, is there such a thing of like over practicing, you know, like burning yourself out? I suppose, especially if you're singing, like, I know from singing for, like, when you sing for a prolonged period of time, like, your voice goes, obviously, because it can't sustain that unless you're like a Broadway performer. So like, is there kind of an element of knowing when to stop and knowing that you've over, you're thinking maybe you've over practiced?
Yeah, I think definitely you do have to be careful, because obviously, like you said, if you're singing, you don't want to like tire your voice out. You don't want to wear yourself out. Like, I don't know. A lot of the practice when it comes to performing is very self-directed. Like, it is just up to kind of what you make it yourself. But like, we were practicing for months and months, and you know, my music teacher would ask us, like, I think we, by Christmas or something, she kind of wanted us to have our pieces picked out that we wanted to do, and the exam wasn't until halfway through April. So
yeah,
you know, it was a very continuous thing. Like, I'd just run through the same songs again and again and again, and like, we she would make us perform them for like the younger years and things like that, and just like to kind of build our confidence. I think honestly, the week of the exam, I don't think I practiced all that much, because I think for me, I tend to kind of get in my head about like, because like, if you practice and it doesn't go great, you're going to start panicking, like, oh my god, like, I can't do this. You know, so I think for me, I tried to kind of not let myself worry too much and have a bad go at it and then get in my head. I didn't want to risk that happening, and also I wanted to kind of rest my voice. So
yeah,
I don't know, like, even the day of, like, we had to be in early. We had to meet our examiner at like 9 o'clock, and then we just stayed in like the, like, this room in our school the whole day long, and I don't think my exam was until like 1:30 or 2 in the day. But I only think I only ran through my songs like maybe twice or three times, or if even that. Like, I don't think I spent too much time practicing, because I think it was just, I didn't want to stress myself out more. Like, I think honestly it is a case at that point of just kind of like mentally preparing yourself and not getting too stressed about, because like, at the end of the day, at that point, it's what you practice like that soon, that close to it, isn't going to make that much of a difference. It kind of is just a case of having that self-belief in yourself that you've done enough and that things are going to go as expected, and you know, you have to be confident that you've put the work in and that you know it's going to go well yourself. And I think that's the most important thing that you can do just leading up to it.
Yeah, and you don't want your performance to come across as like robotic or like super over rehearsed or anything either. And you know, especially like you were saying, when part of it is to actually perform. So you were just kind of on the Manuka honey grind for the week and on voice
yeah,
rest.
Exactly.
I can imagine it must be so stressful. I'd be like so afraid that my voice would go, but it is that element of like you kind of just have to trust that you've got the work done before then.
It really
like,
is just like trust, you said, because like, it's so scary.
Not much is going to change.
Yeah. Like I remember I'd like convince myself that the morning of I'd wake up and my voice would be gone or something. And like, I don't know, I'd convince myself of all these like really just unlikely scenarios, but yeah, it is just a matter of trust in yourself and like having that confidence that things will go as planned and just not letting yourself overthink it.
Yeah, I suppose that kind of gets me onto the kind of idea of like, I can't even imagine how stressful it must be the night before when it's something that like, you know, performing anything, it might not always go to plan, and very often it doesn't go to plan, or you know, there's always a little note that you think, oh, that could have sounded better.
Mm.
How do you kind of just like, I suppose we could break it into before versus after the exam, but beforehand, do you have any tips for kind of like calming nerves or, you know, for the couple of days beforehand, how you kind of got into the headspace of like, okay, listen, I just have to go in and do this, and like remembering it's actually something I enjoy doing and not just like a huge chore.
I think that's a really important part of it, because like, you know, I mentioned this already, but like if you are doing music, the chances are you do enjoy playing whatever instrument you do play or singing or whatever the case may be. And I think it's just so important to remind yourself of that and to like have fun with it, because like it's, you know, probably rare that you get the chance to just like sit in front of somebody and serenade them with however many pieces of music. Like it is kind of fun in a way, and obviously it's easy to let nerves get in the way of that, and it's kind of impossible to just go in and be like, right, let's have a great time here. But I think because you know the examiners aren't there because they want, like obviously it's their job, but also like they're doing it because it's something that they enjoy doing. Like they all like music, they like listening to people perform. So I think just honestly going in with that mindset and reminding yourself this is something that, you know, you might be particularly confident, but remind yourself this is something I'm good at, this is something that I like doing. And just like not comparing yourself to people. Also, like there might be someone before you who is like incredible or whatever, but like don't let that kind of put you off, because it's your own individual performance and everybody has something different to bring. And it's just, I think, really just focus on yourself and what you can do yourself, and don't like beat yourself up thinking about what could or couldn't happen. A lot of it is really mindset, because mindset is going to affect your performance over anything else. And you know, in turn, like afterwards, then you can be like really beat yourself up about like one little thing going wrong, and then in reality it was like not that big of a deal, or like the examiner didn't think twice about it. So I think just reminding yourself like this, like I am a secondary school student doing an exam and that's all this is.
100%. And like I can kind of, you can probably get just so bogged down in it at the time, and like you were saying, after an exam, like if something went wrong, especially with something like singing, where you know 2 days before you could have sang it like angelically and it sounded amazing and you're like good at it yourself, that it maybe didn't go as well in your exam, it like, I think in that exam more than anything, it's so important to just tell yourself like, well, what's done is done. And like it's so annoying to hear that, but like you can't change the way it went.
You have to
after
just move
exam,
on
after the fact. And like that, it's not just, you know, you sing 6 songs or 4 songs and 4, they couldn't have all went bad, you know what I mean? So like I feel like if I was doing it and I sang 6 songs and one of them went bad, I'd only think about the one that went bad, when like that's like not a good thing to, like, you know what I mean? Like that's not practical whatsoever. You've proven yourself in other ways, or even with the music technology, if you felt like you've butchered the 4 songs that you've sung and you're doing the music technology, like you probably aced that, you know what I mean? Like it kind of, you have chances to make up for yourself. It's not like you go in there, perform one piece of music, and if it was bad you're done for, you know what I mean?
And also I think it's important to note, like your teachers are there to advise you. Like I know, like your teachers aren't going to let you walk into an exam with something that they think, like, you know, like they've listened to you, they're there to give you advice. Like they will advise you. Like even I know my teacher would say to me like, okay, like I think you should, you know, do this differently, or like, I think you should definitely do this song or whatever. Like, they're pieces that you probably are comfortable with and you've practiced and you've done a million times, just because. And also, that's another thing, like, if you're doing something so many times over and over again, like, I know my pieces, I would be singing them like every single day for months and months. Of course you're going to have times where they go better, and you're going to be like really familiar with all the kind of ins and outs of the piece or the song or whatever it is. So if some little tiny thing goes wrong on the day, that's all that's going to be in your head. The examiner probably will not think twice about it, because this is the first time they're hearing you sing it. You've heard yourself sing it or play it probably like a million times. So I think it's just so important to kind of take yourself out of your own head and like put yourself in their shoes, maybe, or like whatever works for you. But honestly, just yeah, to kind of detach yourself from like the kind of your own perception of how things may be. Obviously it's good to be confident, but if you're not, if that's not really who you are, I think just honestly don't get bogged down by it. And when you like play one piece or one song, move on from it, focus on the next, because it's a new start, it's a new opportunity to show them what you can do.
Yeah, and no one's more critical of themselves than themselves. Like, you know, if you sat in on your friend's practical and you watched it, you would probably think it went amazing. They might have thought, oh God, that was awful. But, you know, it's kind of just, you're always going to be your own worst critic. So kind of keep that in mind when you're doing it. And like we said, just kind of like, don't focus on things that maybe don't go your way. Focus on things that did. And at the end of the day, like Erin said, like the number one thing is actually enjoy it while you're doing it. It's kind of like, it's kind of one of the few very creative subjects in Leave Insert as well. Like, you know, when you think about it, like when you think of everything else, a lot of other subjects can be very academic, and even the practical aspects of them are somewhat academic. Or like a lot of other subjects that have projects as well, that's academic too. This is an experience where like you get to go in a school setting and perform, which is something that a lot of people enjoy doing, and get graded for it. So like, just enjoy it best you can. But Erin, do you have any kind of closing tips for someone who is either maybe listening to this just before they're going to sit it, or, you know, thinking ahead a year or two in the future and thinking, how am I going to cope with this? If it's maybe they're a little bit shy, or they feel like they're going to get stage fright. Do you have any kind of final closing tips for those people?
I think it's just important to kind of remind yourself that like, this is something so many people do, and everybody comes out of it fine. You know, like, I know it seems like the most daunting thing in the world, and I would be lying if I said that I wasn't nervous going into it. It's a very kind of, you know, it's scary going into it, and it's a very kind of like vulnerable position to put yourself in, like to perform. But it's honestly, like you said, you know, you're always going to be your own worst critic, and it's so, so important to remind yourself of that, and just to go in and leave everything you can in there. And 9 times out of 10 it's going to go so much better than you think it did. And yeah, just honestly have a positive mindset. You know, once you put the work in, like, it will show. And yeah, just have confidence in yourself.
100%. Erin, thank you so much for all of those tips. I think they were super helpful, and to be honest, it was actually really interesting for me to find out more about it. So thanks a million. That's all for today's podcast. Don't forget that you can use podcast 10 to get €10 off any of the upgrades on our site, and we will see you in the next podcast.